Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezras Hashem, BPW, share number 109. That's Bayis Panimi for women, share number 109. So we're in Shalvah Vamanesayach, and in the middle of chapter 3, there's a part that talks about safeguarding your beauty. Brings down from Ben Sira, who was a Chacham, sometimes quoted by Chazal, that says that a beautiful wife is a joy to her husband, and the number of his days are doubled. And the Gemara says that a wife is primarily for beauty. The Gemara Taina says it. Says the wife is for many other things too, like Yerushalayim and other things. Yerushalayim being the main thing. But what is beauty? So the way they describe it in this Sefer is that beauty is an inner beauty that glows and radiates to the exterior. It says that if her eyes are pretty, the rest of her body doesn't need investigation. The eyes is a mirror of the soul reflecting an inner beauty. The beauty that glows from within demonstrates the wholesomeness of the soul. Maybe it used to be in the old days. I don't know if it was this way or ever was this way, but this is the way most likely it will be when Mashiach comes, however it works, that it should match one another. There should be a beauty that's in the inner beauty that reflects the outer beauty, and if there's an inner ugliness, it'll come out in an outerly ugliness. In this generation, and in many generations, but certainly now, you don't always have that aligned. You have people that are very attractive physically that are very corrupt inside, and vice versa. You may have people that are not necessarily, overly attractive outside, but in the inside, they're beautiful. But the idea being, though, is that the ikar beauty is on the inside. And even with the imais, Sarah and the others, Rivka and Rachel, where the Torah does comment on their beauty, it's referring to both. It's an inner beauty, a tzitkis, that radiated to the exterior, and the exterior was beautiful too. That's the idea. It says that compared to Sarah, the rest of womankind was like an ape. It means both in the inner beauty of the soul expressed in the outer beauty. There's also hygienic beauty, just simply taking care of the body the right way. And according to Rabbi Saul Salanter, true beauty comes from perfecting one's character. And to tend to your physical appearance and to take it seriously in the right way is a foundation to enhance midas. Now, I know on the other side of the mechitza by men, they also have to be careful. There's issues with men who are careless about their hygiene or the way they dress and so on and so forth. Something I personally need to work on. I'm sometimes not careful with these things and I have to be more careful. And that needs to be worked on the men's side. There's no question about it. But on the women's side as well, whether they're into clothing, whether they're not into clothing, whether it means a lot to them, whether it doesn't mean a lot to them, but they always need to be presentable and clean and neatly dressed, and especially at home. And to get into that habit early on, and if the habit was not there, to no matter how long you're married, to reverse that. There's ways these days, Baruch Hashem, to wear clothing that are both comfortable, but also nice and presentable and even beautiful. So this is the idea. Now it's true that it's difficult. There's a lot of long hours tending to kids and doing all these things. So it's difficult to make that a priority, to dress pleasantly at home. But it's very, very important. The Gemara Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Amud Beis, Rav Chisda instructed his daughters many things, and this is what he said. You should be modest in front of your husbands. Do not eat bread in front of them, because if you eat a lot of it, you might become despicable in his eyes. Do not eat vegetables at night, since it causes bad breath. You shouldn't eat dates or drink beer at night, because these have a tendency to loosening one's intestinal functions. And do not become accustomed to addressing men. These are different pieces of advice that Rav Chisda told his daughters. But it's clear that every woman needs to dress in a clean, pleasing, and appealing clothing, and not to assume that the husband, even if he didn't comment on it, not to assume that he doesn't care or that he doesn't notice these trivialities. It's very, very important. And that is the idea. Even tzaddikim, they recognize their wife's presentation of things. And the Menorah Samar brings down to be modest in the home, and but be appealing in his eyes, and dress nicely, and worthy is a man who merits that Yirah Shamayim, together with being respectful and modest. And this is true, whether it's especially true in the first year of marriage, and a kala, it says even a kala that's in mourning in the first year of marriage, there are heterim in the way she dresses because of shalom bayis. And another thing that is connected to this is the neglect that sometimes happens. Goes both ways. Husbands neglect their wives, and wives neglect their husbands. And that needs to be worked. So she has an interesting story here, saying as follows. Bracha was a wonderful and modest woman, but just a few months into their marriage, she and Naftali separated. Though he could pinpoint no specific hardship or issue, Naftali felt alienated from his new wife. All attempts to restore their shalom bayis were fruitless. Or perhaps it was this. 2 months after they were married, Bracha's mother gave birth to twins. During her mother's convalescence, Bracha magnanimously accepted the responsibility of running her mother's household in addition to her own fledgling home. So Bracha washed and cooked and cleaned and tended to the young children, and at the end of the weary day, she collapsed in her own nearby home. Her outward appearance during those days left much to be desired. Her neighbors noticed, and surely her husband did too. So this is the idea, first of all, from this story, of overextending, even to your immediate family, at the expense of your husband, or running out to shiurim every night at the expense of paying attention to your husband at night. Again, it's a two-way street. We talk to the men's side very often about emotional neglect of their wives, and to pay attention. And it goes both ways. A wife needs to pay attention when he comes home, to dress nicely, to treat him with respect. Doesn't make a difference how long you're married, in a healthy way. To beautify yourself for the benefit of your husband, whether it's jewelry to please him alone, in certain times of the month, whatever it is, in the right way, the best clothing for his enjoyment, not for the public eye. And again, jewelry that is like flamboyant on the outside is problematic. And jewelry inside the home, beautifying the home. And again, we talked about going out in nice clothing. There's nothing wrong with it. Nice, respectable clothing, perfectly fine, as long as it's not overdone. Men have a chiyuv simply to not pay attention. But there has to be a certain congruence there. You know, it's the people who just dress beautifully outside and are not careful about their appearance inside their home, it's problematic. There's a realism there, of course, when you're tending to babies and cooking and baking, you know, but there are ways to do it these days where you could dress very tastefully and even beautifully and still be very comfortable. So this is the idea. It brings down a story over here that within the walls of old Yerushalayim lived a wealthy man whose wife enjoyed exquisite dress and fine jewelry, but their financial situation nosedived. And he traveled. The man now had to travel outside the city walls and earn a meager salary. But every evening, the once wealthy wife left her home, dressed in clothing fit for a wedding. Neighbors' families that knew about the couple's financial struggles were astounded to see her dress in this manner. But the reason was that every evening, this faithful wife welcomed her exhausting husband at the crossroads to encourage him, bolster his broken spirit, and accompany him back to their home. So this is a very important concept. Now, everyone these days is concerned with the perception of other people. It applies to emotional appearance, physical appearance. It applies to emotional disposition. And very often in married life, you have to conduct yourself, she says here, like an actress on stage. Now, I'm going to explain this very carefully. That does not mean you're phony. Okay, this is a very important thing to know. I'm going to read what she says here. I know many people that are authentic inside will rebel against this, but let me explain it. It says here that in your married life, conduct yourself like an actress on stage. An actress is poised and composed, smiling and dressed for a part. Spotlight's on you. Your husband is the audience and is watching you. Play your part to perfection. An international diplomat arrived at the airport after a long and turbulent flight. Microphones are thrust at him from every direction, bulbs flash in his eyes. Suppressing his yawns, he patiently responds to the reporter's questions. Now listen carefully. This does not mean you're fake and inauthentic. What it means here is that if your inner feelings feel you're not in the mood of something, but in your mind and in your neshama you know it's right, that's when you play actress. Because that actress is not fake then. You know you want to be courteous and polite, so you're courteous and polite even if inside you feel a certain meanness. You know you need to be kind to your husband, and you smile warmly, even though inside your heart you don't feel warm. That's healthy acting. Because, like the Sefer HaChinuch says, Adam nifal kefi midaisav, a man is impacted internally by his external actions. You act appropriately outside, it'll enhance your inner being. It's the foundation of developing good midas. Sometimes you have to work from the inside out, sometimes from the outside in. You don't always have to allow your true self to show. A wife asked the husband to take out the garbage. It's raining outside. He's really not in the mood. He could do it with a sour face, which is the way he's feeling at the moment because he's a human being. But no, he smiles. Sure, no problem. That's not fake. That's real. Now, does that mean that if there's something that's really bothering one or the other, they shouldn't express it at times? Of course they should. We talked about that. But overall, the concept should be giving in. Overall, the concept should be working on what's best. And that's what you try to do. There's a Gemara Shabbos that's unbelievable. It says that a man married a woman who was missing a hand. He only noticed that deficiency the day he died. And Rabbi Yehuda Anasi said how modest this woman was that she went about her business without her husband even realizing her handicap. So here he talks about not revealing handicaps. And there is an inyan that there's no reason to throw your own garbage and express it. To be vulnerable about normal faults, that's healthy. So again, this also is a balance. How much you share, how much you don't share about your own weaknesses. If there's a normal, healthy vulnerability and listening and acceptance and love, and then it's a healthy thing. But overall, the idea being is that you act in a manner that way you want to strive for, even if inside you don't feel that way yet. That's very important. Then they have a piece about inviting guests. In this book, they talk about how admirable it is and how beautiful it is and how Chnasas Arachim purifies Amidas in a beautiful mitzvah. But I spoke to different various Gedolei Yisrael and people who conferred in them. Inviting guests at home, even by Shabbos and Yontiv, requires Shikal Adas depending on the marriage, depending on the family structure and how you go about it. There's some people in some cultures, they invite more guests and the children are thriving in the and the relatives are thriving and it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing and it's all positive and good. Then there are other times with other personalities where the children get overwhelmed by it and there's not enough attention paid, individual attention paid to the children, and Shabbos is the only time they could give them that individual attention, and often some types of guests or guests could detract from that. Sometimes a husband needs a break from guests, he needs quiet Shabbos after an overwhelming week. Sometimes the wife needs that. I can't cook now for extra people. I'm overwhelmed. Then you don't invite guests. So there's an ideal of Achnasas Arachim, and then there's the Shikla Das. And we'll continue Bezes Hashem in the upcoming Shir. Bracha Vatzlach.